top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, February 15th, 2024, in the headlines. Wesley-born U.S.-based civil engineer Wilworth Robinson's work on the proposed international airport appears to show day-to-day decision-making rather than meticulous pre-planning.
95DA.com.
Trinidad and Tobago Coast Guard confirmed the involvement of two vessels in an oil spill incident off Tobago's southeastern coast, which prompted the engagement of various state agencies. And Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto claims victory in their presidential elections after unofficial results indicate a landslide win, marking his third attempt at the nation's highest office.
Right on.
Details coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
According to Wesley-born U.S.-based civil engineer Wilworth Robin, the ongoing construction of the proposed airport in Wesley is either inadequately planned or is being poorly executed. Robin asserts that the current state of progress suggests a lack of initial planning, which the project seemingly evolving as it moves forward. He emphasized that this approach is normally discouraged, especially given the scale of such a project where meticulous planning is deemed critical.
From what I've seen so far, the whole project was poorly, very poorly planned. It is a very poor execution from what I've seen so far going on from the onset. They seem to be trying to do things as they go along, but you cannot get away with a project of this magnitude. It has to be properly planned. You have to look at the things critically from one end to the other. I mean, even not just the airport facility itself. You have to look outside of that. I mean, they're doing the earthwork and all the structures and all the stuff there, but they also concurrently development or relocation of people is going on at the same time. They have excess amount of soil. I heard one of the engineers on the site say that they don't know what they're going to do. That's a big headache for them. We knew that was going to be a problem because even from the first meeting we have, looking at the Google and the profile, we could see that there was an excess material, but that's a lot of excess. The guy talked like 4 million cubic meters of excess material. To put that in perspective, that we can try to visualize, I did a quick calculation. If you have this big dump truck that hold like about 10 cubic meters, you need about 500,000 of them. Put that excess soil. That gives you the kind of, and that's the excess, right? So it's a lot.
Robin further commented that the repercussions of cutting corners often manifest later on, emphasizing that this appears to be the case in the current situation. He expressed particularly concern for the residents of Wesley, underscoring the importance of ensuring that they reap the greatest benefits from such a developmental project.
You can't take shortcuts on projects like this. It's going to come back and hurt you. And that's what these guys are seeing now. This is a major project on any level you can see. And earthwork is the biggest thing on there. And then what's going on with my people? My biggest concern here is the people of Wesley. I'm a Wesley man. I want to see our people get the most benefit out of this thing and being treated with respect. I think it's very disrespectful. And not just the people that are just directly involved or impacted to the land. The whole of Wesley is impacted. Even Woodfortell and even Marigot. There should be public meetings anytime there's a major project. You have a committee dedicated to public outreach.
And that was civil engineer Wilworth Robin. Dominica Public Service Union President Steve Joseph tries to make a case for unity and appreciation for the union's endeavors by individuals who are benefiting from its services. In a recent statement, Joseph emphasized the need for a collective understanding of the union's work, stressing that solidarity is essential for achieving significant advancements. Joseph underscored the tangible benefits that the union members continue to enjoy, including crucial entitlements like gratitude.
People need to read the rules, read the collective bargaining agreements, understand the kind of work that the union do on your behalf that you cannot do all by yourself. And stand in solidarity with your brother and your sister to make sure that we can achieve more things for you to enjoy, social protection, for you to enjoy. Gratuity was negotiated by the union. We're talking about those things. It's not something that falls from the sky. It's things that the union negotiated on behalf of its members. And the more we get that into a cranium and understand that we can achieve more, but to achieve more, our members, public officers, those who are not unionized, you need to get on board. You cannot be a parasite, just benefiting. Some of you, you're enjoying the benefit you get from the reclassification and so on, but you're not paying a penny. You're not standing in solidarity. You have to recognize that you are part of the whole public service, and you should be unionized. You should be on board.
Steve Joseph, president of the Dominica Public Service Union. The Healthy Caribbean Coalition is spearheading efforts to advance healthy food policies in the region and is set to acknowledge print journalists who excel in covering this crucial domain. In an exciting development, HCC has forged a partnership with the Caribbean Broadcasting Union for the upcoming Caribbean Media Awards competition, scheduled for August 15 for 2023. The CBU Caribbean Media Awards Gala will be broadcasted live from Antigua and Barbuda, marking the inaugural inclusion of an award category dedicated to print journalism themed around healthy nutrition food policy. The accolade will feature a trophy and a US$500 bursary for the winner to produce additional content within the same thematic framework. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Emmanuel Nanton, chairman of the Dominica Cricket Academy, has extended heartfelt congratulations to the parents of Stephen Pascal for their steadfast support throughout his cricket journey. Nanton commended the Pascal family for their unwavering dedication, particularly evident during the son's recent tournament in South Africa. Nanton emphasized the pivotal role of family support in nurturing athletes and fostering their development. He highlighted the Pascal family's commitment as a prime example of the invaluable benefits derived from a strong family unit's backing.
So we want to thank the family, the parents and family of Stephen. Beno give us this one from the stomach, and I've nurtured him, I've been with him all the while. And the support that the family demonstrated in South Africa was tremendous. It showed what a family unit can do, and how supportive a family. Without the support of the family, then I don't think you would have been here, even though you have a lot of talent. But I think we have to thank really and truly your family for the tremendous support that they have done. I have to thank all those organized and who work with you, including the sports division, going through. I'm here representing the Academy. Stephen has been a member of the Academy. He's still a current member of the Academy. And again, well done for that. It's good to see that at present we have Stephen, who just came back from South Africa. We had two members who were on their way to Dominican. And I also want to mention that we have three ladies in training in Antigua for the women's team as well. And another young lady is in training at Portsmouth for the Windwards under 19 as well. We are doing a lot of work. I think the results from the programs that we have been doing, including the Academy, is beginning to bear fruits.
Nanfen, on behalf of the Academy, voiced their endorsement for the Borden cricketer, highlighting the substantial backing he enjoys from both local organizations and the wider community of Dominica as he advances in his cricketing journey.
Stephen, congratulations. Best wishes, not for what was gone, for what is coming in the future. And we want to let you know that we're here to support you, like your family and parents have done, like the Ministry of Sports have done, like the Cricket Association has done. We're here to support you, and we have great hopes for you. It has been shown that there are lots of people who believe in you, and we know that you have the talent. This year is part of the journey, a journey we hope that will last for many years. Keep at it, keep working, be dedicated, be committed. You have shown that you have a strong head on your shoulders. The sports coach had mentioned how he felt you were comfortable leading your team, how you showed in control. And even though you gave us 150, you had some very brilliant innings, Stephen, and I thought you could have gone on. I thought you could have gone on and do many, many more. It did not happen, but it will happen. We claim that in the name of God.
Emmanuel Nanfin, chairman of the Dominica Cricket Academy. Amid ongoing discussions surrounding compensation for property owners in Wesley, whose lands have been acquired for the construction of an international airport, another concern has surfaced regarding the living conditions of individuals who have been relocated by the government. During an interview on the Global View on Q program, Jenna David, chairman of the Concerned Citizens Committee of Wesley, highlighted the challenges faced by residents who were moved due to the airport project. James noted that despite efforts to draw attention to their situation, the government has yet to address several issues related to their new living arrangements.
A few years ago, over 3 years ago, the government came to us and said that they were acquiring our property for the purpose of an international airport. After negotiations, homes were built for some people, but a few of us agreed to be paid and given another lot where we were to be relocated, bearing in mind that we were asked to surrender our original title in order to get paid. I, for one, built my home nearly 2 years ago, and some others were built before me, but we built with a generator. From the time up to this day, we have not received a certificate of title, which was promised within 6 months. We have yet to receive electricity, cable. Neither do we have proper access roads to that new location. Since then, we have been trying to get to the government side to address those issues. In the beginning, we were simply told that they were working on it. After that, we were hardly able to get through to them via telephone. There are persons who still have not received compensation for their homes. There are many persons who still have not received compensations for their farmlands, which have been occupied by the Chinese. There are those who still have not received compensation for their crops. There is a dust problem throughout the village. We are tired. We are tired with all the questions, but no answers. We are tired of the abuse and the disrespect that has been displayed onto the Western people coming from the government side. So that's why we are here.
Jenna James, chairman of the Concerned Citizens Committee of Wesley. In other news, the Trinidad and Tobago Coast Guard has officially confirmed the involvement of at least two vessels in the recent oil spill incident off Tobago's southeastern coast, prompting the engagement of various state agencies. According to a statement released by the Ministry of National Security on Wednesday, the Trinidad and Tobago Coast Guard's investigations and gathered footage have identified the vessels as a tugboat and barge. The MNS revealed that it is collaborating with multiple stakeholders and a consultant to ascertain the identity of the vessel and their respective owners. Furthermore, primarily investigations suggest that the vessels were to en route to Guyana. However, authorities in Guyana have confirmed that neither vessel arrived at its destination as scheduled. The barge was being towed by Solo Creed tugboat from Panama, with its destination set for Guyana, the release stated. The identification process was aided by satellite imagery and photographic evidence provided by Dutch authorities in Aruba. Moreover, the TTGC is reviewing footage from the Guyanese counterparts showing the barge appearing to sink. Nevertheless, it is being confirmed that neither vessel entered Guyanese waters. National Security Minister Fitzgerald Hines expressed gratitude for the support received from regional bodies and assured continued collaboration between the Trinidad and Tobago Coast Guard and local and regional authorities throughout the ongoing investigations. And Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto announced his win in the presidential election following unofficial tallies that indicated a decisive victory, marking his third attempt at the nation's highest office in the world's third largest democracy. Prabowo secured approximately 58% of the votes, as per quick counts by four independent pollsters, surpassing his closest rival, former Jakarta governor Anies Baswedan, by more than double the votes.
Indonesia's Prabowo Subianto declared victory on Wednesday in the country's hotly contested presidential election. This victory must be the victory of the people of Indonesia, the 72-year-old said. The ex-Special Forces commander took nearly 60% of the vote. According to unofficial counts by independent pollsters that have proven to be accurate in the past. The world's biggest single-day election saw nearly 260,000 candidates duke it out over more than 20,000 posts. Prabowo appeared to have an insurmountable lead over his rivals, ex-governors Anies Baswedan and Ganjar Pranowo. Anies, for one, said he was waiting for the official tally, which is set to be announced by March 20th.
Proses penghitungan belum selesai.
The counting process is not finished, he said, adding, we will respect the results of the people's aspirations.
Dari aspirasi rakyat.
In the 1990s, Prabowo was feared as a top lieutenant of the late strongman Suharto, who ruled Indonesia as an autocrat for three decades. Prabowo has since transformed his image into a softer, more grandfatherly figure. He's attracted a huge youth following on social media in a country where nearly half of the 205 million strong electorate is under 40. Another boost for him? The tacit backing of the wildly popular incumbent Joko Widodo. He's reached his term limit. Jokowi, as he's known, did not explicitly endorse a candidate, but his son is Prabowo's running mate. The pair have pledged to continue Jokowi's efforts to position the resource-rich G20 economy as a hub for electric vehicles, as well as to extend a massive infrastructure and social assistance push and create millions of jobs. Prabowo's rivals had said they were investigating reports of fraud, but did not provide evidence. Analysts have said there were no signs of electoral fraud. If confirmed, the new president will take office in October.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Wesley-born US-based civil engineer Wilworth Robin says work on the proposed international airport appears to show day-to-day decision-making rather than meticulous pre-planning.
Five, the big station.
Trinidad and Tobago Coast Guard confirmed the involvement of two vessels in an oil spill incident off Tobago's southeastern coast, which prompted the engagement of various state agencies. And Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto claims a victory in the presidential elections after unofficial results indicate a landslide win, marking his first attempt at the nation's highest office. I've been your presenter for this involvement.
On Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.